Already touched our lives and our hearts with the songs that our brother and sister sang, with the testimonies of the men of God. Just the very fact that they pressed their way to be here and that the rest of us have come in this place. And I pray, Lord, that you will help us tonight to get the truth that you want us to get that will challenge us to face the future. In Jesus' name, amen. Most people today are always somehow or other criticizing the past. I've heard preachers say, oh, you shouldn't worry about what God did yesterday. Well, this is a new day. But the Bible tells us to remember the old past. The Bible does teach us that traditions of our forefathers, godly traditions, should be upheld. Basic principles of Christianity should be restored. One of the first things Elijah did was he repaired the altar of the Lord. It was broken down. You don't hardly ever today anymore hear of the family altar. But I can remember in the early Methodist churches and Nazarene churches where in my home when I was a boy, where we always had family altar. Most homes don't have it at all anymore. And you better not even suggest that they have one. My mother and father never went to bed without having family prayer. And when we got older and we started wandering like boys do, I can remember coming in sometimes as a young teenager and my mother would always wait till I got in bed. And then I'd hear her knees hit the floor. Always. And if my daddy was home, I'd hear his knees hit the floor. And they'd start praying for me. And I would go over there sometimes and beg them not to pray. I'd say, beat me. But don't do that. Because they'd keep me awake all night with that kind of prayer. Used to keep Sunday as a holy day. Regardless of what argument you want to use about whether you should keep days or not. It was done and God honored it. Today, people do everything on Sunday. Except go to church like they ought to. There were old paths. And it's very difficult for us preachers who have lived long enough. 35 years I've been in the ministry. That's not a short time. 35 years is quite a long time. And I've had the misfortune of spanning a generation gap of Christians. I don't know this generation of Christians. You're not the same kind of Christians. Most of you are the kind that I heard about when I first got saved. You didn't do it what we were taught to do. But we were taught to get on our knees and we would pray until we prayed through. I said to Greg tonight, is this Greg right? Brad? I said, Brad, when you go over there, pray through. He said, what do you mean by that? We didn't tell them what it meant. If they didn't know it, they didn't do it. And they would come back next night, and the next night, and the next night. Used to have altar services. And I was saved at the age of 16 in the Assembly of God Church. The revival lasted 6 months. And we never left the church before midnight. And some nights we were praying so much and crying and bawling and squalling that we would just lay down on the floor and sleep. Get up the next morning and go to work. Went to church 10 straight years every night without missing a night. Today I'm flabbergasted that you can spend thousands of dollars and make every effort to try to get churches filled and you can't get the people of God to be in the house of the Lord. And as I was thinking about that today, I thought to myself, what do we need today? We missed that touch of heaven. The old past. The old outpouring of the Spirit of God. Where people used to get the Holy Ghost. When I got the Holy Ghost, I was 16, just turning, about ready to turn 17. And I went to an altar and I prayed and the pastor walked by several times. He put his hand on my head and I feel so good. Oh, I felt a shout. Woo, 16-year-old kid. Praise the Lord. I got the Holy Ghost. He said, no, you don't. I'd say, what do you mean I don't have it? Look, well, I feel so good. Because you didn't talk in tongues. I shall be back tomorrow night. Didn't make me mad. Didn't get me upset. Wasn't trying to find out whether it was doctrinally sound or not. I wanted the Holy Ghost. If it meant talking in tongues, then tongue talking I was going to do. If it meant standing on my head, then find me some place to stand. Didn't make no difference to me. I was hungry. Went back there night after night seeking and tarrying and waiting for the Holy Ghost and bawling and squalling and crying and crying. And one night, just an ordinary Sunday night service. People did round the altar praying. It was a common thing. You just didn't. Preacher didn't say, come and gather around the altar. They just did it. They didn't want to go home. You had to drive them, make them go home. Sometimes, like I said, just go out and let them stay there. One night I was just down there praying and all of a sudden the pastor walked by and again he touched me. When he did, I started talking in tongues and I must have talked in tongues for 12 hours. They carried me home. Took me out of the church, one man under each arm, stuck me in a car, my head out the window, talking in tongues all the way home. Got home, my little old Nazarene mama was looking for me. Jumped out of the car, went running up to her. She said, what's he saying? Today, somebody said, oh, you shouldn't do it like that. So then we got it all different ways except the way it ought to be. Started making a doctrine out of it. Started making traditions out of it. Come on, started dissecting it and destroying it. People used to get saved and couldn't explain it. Used to get sanctified and couldn't tell you what it was. Used to get the Holy Ghost and couldn't tell you what it meant. Come on, but they knew they had it. Today we can tell you what it means, how to get it, and what to do with it, when we just don't know how to get it. Yeah. I can remember the old Nazarenes talking in tongues when there was no such thing as tongue talking. They didn't even know what to call it. They had no name for it. They weren't up. They were speaking what they knew, and they didn't know about tongues. But they would get the experience. And they would say, I was jabbering something, or I was doing something. I don't know what it was, but they had it. Today, boy, we can design it and program it. I want to preach about old times. Because I promise you, God is going to bring this church back to restoration. That includes the power, the persecution, and the perseverance of the early church. And I'm longing for it every day more and more. I walk around these campgrounds and I think how God has blessed us here. My God, we bought and paid for this thing in less than 7 years. Built all these buildings, all paid for. With a ministry like this. Sometimes in this place, nobody here hardly. Go to preach in tent meetings and Brother David's been there, nobody. Brother Wilkerson, you've been here. Just have to preach. No offerings. And still spend hundreds a week on broadcasting. Hundreds a month on publishing. Hundreds a month on missionary. I don't know what it takes sometimes to make people recognize an anointed ministry. I don't know what God's going to do. Oh, you ain't no swagger. Thank God. Don't want to. I want to read for you. Now when Solomon had made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven. It consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices. And the glory of the Lord filled the house. Now, a lot of you people get upset with me because I won't tell you where I'm reading. And I have no intention to. And I wish you just close up your books and listen. And when you get home, then search. And see whether I preached out of the Bible. I don't mean to be smart when I do that, but I sound smart. I know I'm a sound smart. But the Bible said faith comes by hearing. And I have seen the devil destroy many people's hearing by getting them to read. They're reading and they're not hearing. And many times they twist what the preacher said all out of proportion because they're trying to check him out. So just hear. Now y'all know I'm right. Y'all know that's right. The spirit of truth in you says that's right. Your old carnal nature might say, well, I want to check you out, make you, that's wrong. Wouldn't you like to be a noble Christian? The Bible said the Bereans were more noble. Wasn't that the word of her? They listened to the preacher. Then they went home and searched the scriptures. That's a good way to get you away from the late show. Yeah, that's what it said. They went home and said, did you hear what he said? Let's search the scriptures and see whether he told us the truth. Hello? I tell you people, I'll catch your little fleshly responses to me. That's the truth. Just because you don't like it, it's still the truth. Listen, here. Most of you don't know how to read the Bible anymore. That's the truth. People read the Bible all the time. And the Lord said unto them, down, 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 down. When Solomon had made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. And the priest could not enter into the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. And when all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down and the glory of the Lord upon the house, they bowed themselves with their faces to the ground upon the pavement, and they worshiped and they praised the Lord, saying, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Hallelujah. Somebody say amen. For the glory, the Shekinah glory, the divine presence, the omnipotent atmosphere of an almighty God filled the house. Hallelujah. Talk about old time conviction. Today you're seeing just, Brother David was telling me of a preacher who had his tent up who was a good man. I have no reason to think he's not. Brother R.A. West had his tent up in Gainesville. Run 150, 200 a night maybe? Would you say on that average, brother? Good preacher. No foolishness, he said. Preached the word. Preached straight. Two people came to Christ and they were backsliders. Just a bunch of church folk there shouting, dancing, preaching, hearing, going home, living the same old life. You wonder why, children, the world's not being saved. The Bible said, unless Zion travails, no sons and daughters will be born. We are aborting our spiritual children. Living in an age where we don't want to be bothered with bringing kids to birth. We might have to pray them through. We don't want to tell them they got to quit sinning. I can remember conviction, getting a hold of people. You would sing just one verse, just as I am without one plea. Down the aisle they would run. Oh, they would come running. You'd have to tell them how to pray. You'd have to tell them how to cry out. They would fall on their knees and they would begin to cry out, save me, save me, save me, save me, God have mercy. What was it? The glory of God. The presence of an omnipotent King. And when Solomon had made an end of praying, the fire came down and the glory of the Lord filled the Lord's house. I tell of a woman who had lost her breast and stood right there in 10 seconds time and watched God put another one back on. Today most Christians are wrapped up with their pill bottles, their doctor's appointments. The Bible said he sent his word and healed him. His glory, his presence, his power is able. My God, Brother Ed, you sat last Sunday morning. He touched you with his glory. You felt his presence. Hallelujah. Something went through, went into you. The presence and the glory and the power of an almighty God who spoke the world into existence. Scripture in the Bible that always makes me stand in awe.
and he hung the world on nothing.
I sit there and I look at you and I say, they don't get it, Lord.
We stand and we watch them shoot the astronaut and say, isn't that wonderful? But our God took this great big old earth, spoke it into existence, and then flung it out here and hung it on nothing. I can still remember driving down from Waycross to Brunswick, Georgia one day, and Teresa was sitting next to me. And she had been reading the scriptures, and we looked up, and there was great, big, bellowing, beautiful white clouds up there. And she said, honey, you know what the Bible says? It says the clouds are the dust of his feet. Lord God Almighty. Oh, you're still like a bunch of dunces sitting there. God have mercy. Every time you look up there and you see those great billowing clouds, it's the big strides of God walking across the universe, kicking up a little dust saying, hey, I'm still sitting high and looking low, and I got all power in my hand. I'm going to say amen. The glory of the Lord filled the Lord's house. Think about Stephen, his face shone like the face of an angel. And the apostle, or Moses, whose face was so full of Shekinah glory, he had to cover his face. I'm trying to think of the preacher who used to travel around the nations, who used to just walk into stores and into factories and just start to weep. And people would shut down their machines. Factories, whole factories would shut down as people would just fall on their knees. Begin to ask God to save them. Are you saved tonight? You say you're trying to make me doubt it? No, trying to reassure you. Child of God, washed in the blood, redeemed. Let the glory of the Lord radiate from you. Oh, hallelujah. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus. 1 Samuel. I want to read from the book of 1 Samuel. You don't have to follow me. I'll read it well. Somebody say, help me, Jesus. Say it again. Hannah, crying for a child, begging to God for a child, and God blessed her with Samuel. She said, the Lord maketh poor, and he bringeth low, and he lifteth up. He riseth up the poor out of the dust. And he lifteth up the beggar from the dunghill. To set them among princes. And to make them inherit the throne of glory. Huh? Huh? Wait. You get that? He lifteth up the beggar. He lifteth up the beggar. Huh? That's why some of you folk ain't been lifted up. You were too high when you first came to him. Can't lift you up. You're already up to too high. The only thing to do with you is bring you down. You're already too high. I've tried to tell people all along. You think God found you on a top shelf? We go out here and get things out of the dumpsters. But I can tell you right now, you got to get into that dumpster. I've got down that dumpster, boy, and I'll come out there with some of the finest. We've been eating them Polo bars. You know them Polo bars, the little chocolate and vanilla Polo bars? I didn't tell Brother Lake. He'd been eating them off the store, but I didn't tell him they come out of the dumpster. He don't know, brother. I'll tell you what, them things sell for $2.50 a pack, brother. I found cases of them over there the other day, brother. Old Brother Scott and I got right there just in time before they got melted. Lord, them things have been keeping us going for a while. Get down that old dumpster. Get down to where it's dirty. He lifts the beggars up from the dunghill. Jesus said about the little woman who was anointing his feet with her tears and drying with her hair. He said, wherever the gospel is being preached, it will be spoken of as a memorial unto her. Why? Because he picked her up. He picked her up. Come on. David said, he picked me up out of a horrible pit. He set my feet on a solid rock, and he established my going. One of the most powerful songs in the Billy Graham Crusades right after the Second World War was sung by George Beverly Shea and Red Harper. When my Savior reached down for me, when he reached down his hand for me, I was lost and undone without God or his Son. But he reached down. Hallelujah. Somebody say praise the Lord. He reached down. How to stick his hand in the filth and the muck and the mire. We first moved up here. We were trying to learn where everything was around here. And one day I was out here working on the septic tank. And I didn't know anything about septic tanks. Our septic tank out here is a homemade one. And it's got three heavy pieces of cement across it. And I pushed the middle one off. You never push the middle piece of cement off the septic tank. Because it don't go off. It goes in. You push the ends off. Well, I found out after I pushed the one of them off. And there's a 500-pound piece of cement down in the septic tank. I got to get that thing out of there. Old Brother Chris, bless his old heart, he's never turned a job down in his whole life. He come up here and I said, Chris, I got a job for you today. He said, yeah, no problem. I took him down behind I was working in the print shop and I took him down behind the tabernacle of the building. I said, I need to get that that piece of cement out of that septic tank. He said, I think I'm going home. But that's right, Chris. He tried and he tried and he tried and he tried and he tried. He built a tripod. He got pulleys. He just couldn't get it out. About 4 o'clock, he walked into the print shop. He said, Brother Sterry, he said, come on out here. I think we're going to have to get our heads together and see if we can't find a way to get it out. I walked out there and I said, well, we looked at it a while. I said, look, let me try something. So I went and got my truck and I backed the truck up close to it and I got the old spare tire out and I got down into the septic tank. Got a chain around the old piece of, had to get my head and my hand down, had to reach down, so I had my head hit the old, got a piece of chain around it, put a board behind it, but I had to get down in it. You had to get down into your filth, into your sin. Don't you think he deserves all the glory, and all the honor, and all the praise? Hannah says, he raised up the poor out of the dust. He lifted up the beggar from the dunghill to set them among princes and to make them inherit the throne of glory. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he hath set the world upon them. He will keep the feet of his saints, and the wicked shall be silent in darkness. For by strength shall no man prevail. It's going to be by the power and the glory of God. That's what's going to be by. Remarkable scripture. I remember old Brother Jack Cole preaching this one many years ago using this text. It never has left my mind. Not too many people ever read from this little book. It's got 2 chapters to it. Minor prophet. You know, we have done that with the Old Testament. We call some minor and some major. Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, we call them the major prophets. Zephaniah, Zechariah, Haggai, Malachi, we call them the minor prophets. I want to read from one of the minor ones. Who is left among you that saw this house in her? Is there anybody that knows what God has done in the past so we can tell him what he's going to do in the future? We're living in such a desolate time. God is not dead. Somehow we've got to get a glimpse of what he's planning on doing in the future. Somebody said, we don't need to know tomorrow. Yes, you do. In the substance of things hoped for, you'll have a better hope than you have now. This is not the real church that you are witnessing in this generation. It is corrupted. divided, full of schisms. It is making the word of God like it's taking none effect. This is not the way it's going to be, where we have to work at worshiping God and work at fellowship and work at unity. There is a day soon to come when God is going to manifest His glory. And listen close. Who is left among you that saw this house in her first glory? And how do you see it now? What does it look like now?
Oh, I hear preachers say, oh, the church is doing well.
Can you decide which church it is? Take my name off your mail list. I don't hear no more from you. I get that about every day now. Said you asked for the tithe. You asked people to send you tithe. Said the tithe belongs to the local church. I want to ask them, where's that? Where is the local church? Ignorant, on scriptural term. Local church? My pastor, they say. What do you mean, your pastor? One church, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, all members of one body. Yeah. Well, you ain't one of us. You don't belong to us. That's the kind of jive we hear today. They had all things in common, the early church said. No man lacked anything. They distributed to the necessities of the saints. I was thinking his brother David was singing about the little boy. You know, the scripture doesn't tell you to help everybody out there that's hungry. He said, as much as you've done unto the least of these, my brethren. But he's safe to call the little boy a brother, because Jesus has suffered the little children. They're all included. Come on. You can't help a child without helping Jesus. Come on. You can't help a child without helping Jesus. Come on. That child is the personification. He said, except you become converted and become as a little child. All little children are automatically, until they willfully reject Christ, in the kingdom of God.
I heard something the other day from a good old Baptist brother. He shook me up with it, because he really did. He really shook me up. I had never, you know, these little arguments you have sometimes do you some good if you ain't so stubborn. Some folk think I'm stubborn, but I am on what I believe. But sometimes if a man makes me think, I back down. And we were talking about eternal security. Of course, the Baptists believe that. Of course, now we want to argue over that. But I believe in eternal security. I believe when you're saved, you're saved. Now you can argue. You can argue all you want to, but I believe when you're saved, you're saved. I'm not going to go into that, but I want to tell you something. What the old Baptist brother said to me, I said, you don't know the Bible says where God says I'll blot your name out of the book. He said, yeah. But he said, every man's name is already in the book. Already in the book. You're at the right place. All men are already in the book. Hello. The question is, can you keep your name there? When you were born, your name was in the book. Oh, I know you ain't gonna, some of you ain't gonna like this. In the first man, Adam, all men died. But in the last man, all men were made alive. So even though you were born in sin and shapen in iniquity under your old man, Adam, you were born in Christ under the new man, Adam. It's your willful sins that causes you to be removed from the book. Look what he says here. Who is left among you that saw this house in her first glory? And how do you see it now? Is it not in your eyes in comparison of it as nothing? How do you compare this 20th century church with the church in the book of Acts? It's nothing. It
You can't even parallel it. There is no comparisons. They sold everything, gave up everything, went anywhere, paid any price, endured all things. Nothing stood between them and their Savior. And they had the glory. Can you think of Peter? Old big mouth Peter. Walking up to a temple, saw a beggar standing there. Silver and gold, he said, have I none. Can you imagine Copan talking like that? Copeland would say, poor old Peter didn't have the revelation. Can you think of a preacher running around the country offering people silver and gold instead of the power of God? What values we have put on silver and gold? Peter said, hey, buddy, silver and gold have I none. Big smile on his face. I could see the old guy, he had been sitting there getting his little nickels and dimes. Day after day, Peter had walked by. This was not the first time he'd walked by there. And every time Peter walked by, he'd say, what do you got? John said, well, I got a little penny. Give it to the poor guy. And he'd give it to the guy. I have no doubt in my mind that several days, Peter and John gave money to the fellow. But this day, Peter says, what you got, John? John says, I just left. I'm broke. Peter says, but now you know we can't walk by this fellow without giving him something. Got to give him something. Got to do something for him. And all of a sudden, the little spirit of God inside him says, hey, Peter, shall ye do? Hey, I forgot that. Hey, buddy, silver and gold have I none. For the first time in my life, I can thank God that I got something that I don't need. Can you imagine Christians boasting about that? But such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. The Bible said the man jumped up immediately, his ankle bones received strength. He went leaping and shouting and praising God into the temple. Peter got on television and made $1 million. Well, that's what they've done. Who is there left among you that saw this house? And how do you see it now? That's why most of you Christians don't know about the church. You have seen a distorted picture of the church. You have not seen the Christ of the Scriptures. Self-denying, cross-bearing Christ. For the joy that was set before. For the joy. For the joy. He wasn't very happy when he was here. He was a man of sorrows and acquainted, despised and rejected. But for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross and despised the shame. And now he sat down on the Father's right hand. How is this church now, he says, in comparison? In comparison to Paul and to Peter and to Stephen. Stephen, remarkable man, bouncing stones off his head. He staggers to his feet with blood running down his face and crying, I see heaven open. Lord God Almighty, hallelujah, hallelujah. He said, I see Jesus standing. Oh, I've tried to illustrate that. You know, the Bible said that when Christ ascended into heaven, he sat down. The Bible said that when he went into heaven, he sat down. But when Stephen looked up, he saw him standing. Uh-huh. Lord sitting up there in the Father's right hand. Now, somebody says, are you Trinitarian? Was there two there? How many gods are there? Go fly a kite. What a hassle over that. Childish toy. You ain't never going to know until you get there. Now you see through a glass darkly. Now you only know in part. God ain't going to let you see him in all of his heart until you get in his glory. How could he trust you with that kind of message?
Get a chance to see you. God said you couldn't handle it.
But God, I got to tell these people about you. I know, just take my word for it. I am what I am. Moses just begged and pleaded, and God said, all right, boy, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. You just go over there and stick your head in the stump a minute. I just, I'm paraphrasing. And God just took his big old hand and went, cracked the big old rock. Said, Moses!
Yeah, Lord.
Go hide yourself in that rock. Just run over, got down in the big old cleft in the rock. Got about a trillion miles away. Y'all don't hear me. The Lord's hand's not short. His hand's not short. Come on, he didn't just go a block, honey. He didn't just go down the street. His hand's not short. He got a long hand. It found you at the bottom of the trash pile. Somebody say amen. Hallelujah. Got a long hand. God himself about a trillion miles away. Said, Moses!
Yes!
Are you ready?
Yes!
And God goes, whoop! That's all he did. Just lifted his hand a little bit, and Moses saw his backside. Just his backside. His hinder parts. Then God was gone. Moses come up out, and his face was shining. Hallelujah. Glory! No wonder the old songwriter said, oh, I want to see him look upon his face, there to sing forever of his saving grace. That's all right, folks. You can sit there all the way you want like a bump on the needle. But oh, hallelujah, it will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life trials will seem so small when we see him. One glimpse of his dear face and all sorrow he will erase. Oh, bravely, bravely run the race. God Almighty. Gotta do it, Lord. Whew. I can remember when that kind of preaching used to be pleasurable.
Now it's work.
I can remember when I used to hit those kind of high notes 25 years ago when I didn't know how to come down off of them. Today I hit them and I sit there saying, what's happening? Ain't nothing happening out there. I heard William Brennan walk into a church in Syracuse, New York, and stand behind the pulpit and said three words. God bless, and people by the thousands fail under the power of God. Who's left among you that saw this house in its first glory? Is it nothing to you that passed by? You can't even sing it today without it putting some kind of a spiritual exaltation inside of you. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. He is tramping out his vintage where the grace, boy, it makes the sinner shake. Come on, you can sing it on secular radio, popular radio. Sing it anywhere. It's filled with the anointing and the power of Almighty God. I remember old Kate Smith. Never will forget her. Back when our nation used to have Bibles in the school, prayer in the school, family altar in the home. Boys dying and our mamas and papas were praying day and night for their boys on the battlefield. Women were laughing. It set my heart on fire. God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her. Oh, and he did it. He did it.
Make no difference that Jesus said not everyone.
Pay homage to the biggest false prophet the world has, the Pope of Rome. It's becoming exceedingly frightened
to see how many of the nominal church leaders are accepting that rascal as a so-called Christian brother. But you even sitting here, I don't care if you're a Roman Catholic, you are deceived. If you join the Protestant churches, you're still deceived. Follow the leaders. Those leaders are going to lead you into the ditch. The Roman Catholic Church and all of her Protestant daughters is the church that is called the mother of harlots and the whore. It is perfectly identified, recognized, and it's doing exactly what God said it would do. We have no right to have any part with it at all. You don't mean to tell me you compare this hypocritical Roman Catholic Church with Peter, who they claim to be their first pope? He would even have it. When the man tried to make a pope out of him, what he said, silver and gold have I none, such as I have. The Bible said they came out and they began to worship them. They begin to worship Peter. They begin to pay him homage. He said, what are you guys doing? Oh, look, they don't know. They don't know what I'm talking about. You look. I said, why are you looking on us as though we are some great thing? So we ain't done nothing. This man is made whole because of Jesus. It's through his name, not Mary, not St. Simon or St. Jude. Hail Mary, full of grace. Ain't got nobody here. You're not defending that position, are you? Well, God loves the Catholic. Oh, he loves the communist too. Don't give me that kind of jive. Cuba, somebody said to me, why are you going to Cuba? They ain't going to repent. I said, I go to Charleston, they don't repent. I go to Bellevue, they don't repent. I go to Gainesville, they don't repent. That's the criteria. We'll quit going anywhere. Huh? Yet now be strong, O Zerubbabel, saith the Lord, and be strong, O Joshua, son of Jehozadak, for the high priest, and be strong, all ye people of the land, saith the Lord, and work, for I am with you, saith the Lord of hosts, according to the word that I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt. Now, somebody better tell you what Egypt represents. It represents the world and sin and bondage. I said, now I made a covenant with you when you came out of that mess. I didn't save you in Egypt. I brought you out of it. I don't mean for you to go back and get the leeks and garlics anymore. Get on out of it. You might have to wander in the wilderness a while, but you'll get to the promised land. Just don't go back. He said, as my spirit remaineth among you, fear ye not. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once, it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land. And I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come, and I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts. Oh, hallelujah! He said, the silver is mine. The gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts. And the glory of this latter house shall be greater than the former. Think of all the wonderful things that happened to the early church. And we're going to enjoy it many times over. Now, the early church didn't exist only one generation. Within 70 years, it had already started to wander away. You have left your first love. The last church is going to close. The early church started with power and victory and anointing and persecution, and then it left its first love and it became cool. The last one starting with a church that has left its first love. Y'all don't hear me. You see, the trouble with you folks, because you don't think I'm a theologian, you think I can't preach theology. Hey, that's brand new. You're getting something right now, brand new. No premeditation. No studying. That's coming right from the glory world right now. Brand new. Can you take it? The early church started with power the day of Pentecost. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And it was noised abroad. Oh, hallelujah. Staggering and stumbling out of the upper room they came, looking like a bunch of drunk men, and the crowd came running from everywhere, and they said, they're drunk. And Peter said, not like you think. We haven't been drinking no more than David. Hallelujah. He said, they're not drunk as you suppose, seeing it's but the third hour of the day. He said, but this is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel. It shall come to pass in the last day, saith God, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh. And that church sold what they had, got so excited about their old time religion, had all things in common, no man called anything his own. And then apostasy set in. And they fell away. Now the last church is starting like that. This generation has already been through that. We've left our first love. Most of us have never really experienced what it means to love God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. Do all you want to. That is a powerful statement. But we will. When God puts us to a position where all the other things we love are going to be taken away from us. And He is going to use the heathen to do it. He's going to take away everything we hold dear. Everything. Everything. Amen. Somebody said, well, they'll take it away from you. I ain't got nothing now. This is yours. No, this is God's. He can't take it away from God. Oh, you don't hear me. They can take it away from me. But hello. And God said the glory of this latter house is going to be greater than the glory of the former house. The last 3.5 years of this church age is going to be the most amazing demonstration of the power of God that the world has ever known. And you know what God said He's going to do? Oh, I read this today and I said, oh God, look what He said. He said, the glory of the latter house should be greater than the former house, saith the Lord of hosts, and in this place will I give peace. Oh, I got peace. Do you? Peace that passeth all understanding. Not many folk have that kind of peace. But God's going to give us that peace. Where we can sit right there. We're going to put you in a fiery furnace. It's okay. She ain't going to bow. We're going to feed you to the lions. I'm ready. We're going to take away what you got. You know, I learned an experience some years ago about that. We were in Savannah years ago. They went out and they bought my family bought one of those health things, you know, for one of these health places you go. Hope you're a lifetime thing. Lifetime membership. It closed up 3 days later. And they were trying to collect from me. I had nothing to do with it. They signed the papers and they were trying to collect from me. I said, hey, I didn't make that deal. I ain't going to pay it. You owe it. You are the responsible party. I said, well, you didn't ask me if I wanted it. I said, you can't even back up the terms of the deal. I ain't paying you. He said, we'll get you. So the next day, he called me back. He said, you think you're smart, huh? I said, what's that? See, he tried to garnish my salary and I had none. Tried to put a lien against my property and I owed none. He tried to contact my employer and he didn't know how. He said, you're smart, aren't you? I said, yep. I said, if you'd have kept your mouth shut, wise guy, and treated me like a man, I might have paid that bill. I said, now since you got so smart, collect it yourself. See, if you ain't got nothing, the world can't take nothing from you. Can't threaten you with it. Somebody say, help me, Jesus. I got to close. Who is left among you that saw this house in its first glory? I remember in Philadelphia, in the Metropolitan Opera House, 15,000 people. You had to be there at 6 o'clock in the morning if you wanted a seat. Folk didn't leave their seats.
A man by the name of Jack Cole was preaching. Had been several times during his service tenure put in a psychiatric ward. Because God had saved him so much, he's trying to save the general. Crazy kid, boy. Wrapped up in God. Thought he'd gone crazy. Finally put him out with a dishonorable discharge. Said he's crazy. Ignorant, unlearned, uncouth.
God said it, bless God.
Dumped him with a garter, big old garter about as big as a grapefruit hang from his cheek.
Raise your hand, lady! Pow!
Hit it. Knocked it. Why, I throw water at people and they get upset. Just a little bit of water. I saw one of them get mad at me when I threw the water and ran out in a rainstorm. Two drops of water hit it, she got mad and ran out, pouring down rain. That lady told me the other day when I called her, she said, you call us a snot-nosed kids. I said, yeah. Peanut brains. Uh-huh. Well, Einstein told you that. Einstein told you the best genius we got only uses 10% of his brain, and you ain't no genius. How much you think you use? I made a statement a little while ago, and I'm going to say it again. I said it this morning, I'm going to say it again tonight. America is, very soon, going to feel the impact of a nuclear attack. Oh, what are we going to do? Safe in the arms of Jesus. Who cares? Personally, I wish God would give me the chance to be in the middle of it. That would help me to get out of that trip to Rome. God talking to a man saying, you got to go to Rome. You got to walk into St. Peter's Basilica. And you got to wait till the Pope stands out front. And then when he starts his little hypocritical thing, you got to raise your hand. And you got to say, thus saith the Lord. And then whatever else comes out. And when you get done doing it, you're going to be a dead man. And that scares some people because they got other things they want to do. Who has hastened the coming of Jesus Christ? I don't care about your comfort, your convenience, your lifestyle. I want Jesus. I will be in Russia very soon. The young man that's planning to go with me has already set the date, and I believe he's got the right date. God told me very clearly, and he's proved it to me twice already, and he'll do it again. The American Christian can keep fussing all they want to over these little childish issues. The plan of God is coming to an end. And the fulfillment of prophecy is going to be here quickly. You hear me? And all the little things you want, you're going to have to get to the place where you say, not my will, but thine be done. What you want don't mean nothing. Zeno, oh help you God. God may only use you 5 minutes. But it'd be the greatest 5 minutes you ever had in your whole life. Y'all thought I forgot about Stephen, didn't you? I didn't forget about him. Lord's sitting up there. Hey, Father, look down there. Boy, we're going to have a nice show now. That old boy, you know he gonna stand. He gonna do it. Hey, Gabriel! Michael! Hey, Angel, come here! Look down there! Go ahead, son! Get him, boy! Holy Spirit, go down and give another dose! Y'all don't believe it, huh? Abraham! Isaac! Come on, you witnesses, get in this man's cheering section! Hang in there, fella! Hold on! Isaac! Samson! Hey, Samson, come see this. You think you was something? Bust it. Samson said, boy, that guy shouldn't do like I did. I failed you, Lord. He don't look like he's going to fail at all. Amen. About that time, pow! Ooh. What's the matter, Lord? I felt that. I felt that. With the feeling of iron for pow! Oh, that guy's taking it.
Father, they're really
and when old Stephen looked up, he saw Jesus standing. He said, I see heaven open. That would have been enough. That would have been enough. But he said, I see Jesus. That would have been plenty. He said, but he's standing on the Father's right hand. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. He went over quick, laid his head down on a little stone, and fell asleep. Hallelujah. Said, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Get me out of this mess. Who was there left among you that saw this house in its first glory? I saw Jack Cole have an ambulance night one night. 1,000 ambulances. Metropolitan Opera House's stage was 10 times as big as this tabernacle. Just the stage alone. Old Metropolitan building, Opera House. And everywhere you look were stretchers. People on stretchers everywhere. Everywhere. Thousands of them. Old Jack Cole paid to bring them in on an ambulance, sent the ambulance home. Paid it one way. Paid it one way. Paid it one way. Cost him thousands of dollars. He paid it one way. He said, I ain't paying your way home now, you folk. I mean, he had them there. He had them there, every kind of a sickness disease you can think about. Tubes coming out of their body, nurses looking over them, doctors waiting on them. He said, you ain't gonna pay your way home. Gonna get healed. Walked back and forth. Didn't hardly preach the word. Hardly just kept saying, you're gonna get healed. That's the word. Don't tell the people today you're going to get healed and say, well, how, why, what way, what do I got to do? What's that? Just the word. By stripes you're healed. What's wrong with the word? By his grace you're saved. What's wrong with the word? Man lives by the word. Any given moment, Jack Cole would whirl around, grab about 10 or 15 of them. Jesus' name! Jesus' name! Jesus' name! Pick them up off, pile of old stretchers up on a pile. He wouldn't let them get back in the bed. One lady picked her up and she sat right back there. He said, what are you doing, lady? Get up! She wouldn't get up. He grabbed her, picked her up, kicked the cot right off from underneath her. Crude, rough, tough, mean, ornery. Come here, Rick. Saw him take his foot one time, put it right smack bang in the back of a lady on crutches like this. Jesus' name. Shoved her right down the steps. Power, anointing. What are you going to do, Jack? Call you pray for somebody and they drop dead. Step over and pray for the next one. I see that, Brother David, little old Methodist preacher. I seen it. Little old Methodist preacher, and I saw it, brother. I'd gone into the Methodist church, and they had talked me out of the Holy Ghost, talked me out of speaking in tongues. And I was so hungry, I went back to see old Brother Jack Cole, and I was sitting there, the power of God hit me again. I began to talk in tongues. God said, is that the devil now, boy? His tongue talking to the devil? Do something, you'll find out. Oh, the devil can talk in tongues. You ain't serving the devil, are you? Then why would the devil be talking through your tongue? I'm afraid I'll get something wrong. Get right, you won't get nothing wrong. Amen. Yeah. He asked the Father for a fish. He's not going to give you a serpent. Well, how do I know if I talk in tongues I ain't cussing? Because the Holy Ghost don't cuss. Simplicity. Boy, we confuse the issue anymore. Who is left among you that saw this house in its first glory? Called to pray for a woman who was dying. By the time he got there, she was dead. Put everybody out. Had a good example.
name was Jesus. Get somebody spoke out of this thing because they're going to get in your way half the time. Picked up the old woman, stuck her up against the wall. Said, Father, did they call me over here to pray for her before she was dead and she died on me and made me look bad and make you look bad? Said, in the name of Jesus, woman, I command you to come alive again. Spirit of hell, give her life back. Now you follow me out here and turn around and walked out of the room. She come walking right behind him.
I don't believe that. I got to see it before I believe it.
You low down hypocrite. You scallywag. Got to see what? A wicked generation seeks a sign. Always wanting to see something. Just a little bit. It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago. Whether he's in the body, I cannot tell. Or whether out of the body, I cannot tell. What an experience. Such a one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. How that he was caught up into paradise and he heard unspeakable words. Isn't that what I told you? Can I tell you that when I started? Ain't going to be no human language spoken in heaven. None at all. No language that you know is going to be spoken in heaven. It's going to be spirit language. I think back to our trip into China time and time again about the last conversation we had with that boy that we gave the Bible. And I can vividly remember the conversation. He talked in Chinese. I talked in English. I understood him. What did he say? I just understood it. I don't know what he said. Today we're not satisfied with interpretations. We want translations. You can't translate spirit language. One of my famous sermons is Why I Speak with Tongues. And I tell them how Jesus talked in tongues. And people look. He talked in tongues at the little girl who died. Everything else he said was in English or in Arabic. But that was in tongues. It could not be translated. It had to be interpreted. When he opened the deaf ears of a man, he said, Ephrata. It had to be interpreted. It could not be translated. It's in your Bible. Get your nose out of Susan Roebuck's catalog and get in the book a little bit, you'll read it. When he hung on the cross, he said seven sayings. Every six of them, everybody understood. The seventh one had to be interpreted. Not translated. He was not speaking in any known language. If he would have been speaking in a known language, somebody would have known what he said. He spoke in tongue. What? Well, first of all, with the little girl, she was dead. She was dead. She was dead. He said she's not dead, but she was dead. She was dead. He knew it. You don't speak to a dead person. Her spirit was already gone. We spoke spirit language. He went into the spirit and he spoke spirit language. Talithiai kamai. Had to be interpreted, not translated. You can translate something and never tell nobody what the person's saying. I'll go through it again. That's why our translations are not telling people what the Bible says. We got so many translations, they don't know what the Bible's saying anymore. They're not telling you what it's saying, they're just translating it. They're not telling you what it's saying. And that's why they don't want preachers, because preachers tell you what it says. You can read it, but you don't know what it says. And preachers tell you what it says. Tell you something else God's going to allow. He is going to allow the Bible in this country to be taken away from us. It is the biggest source of confusion the Christian church has ever had.
We've allowed the translations and the interpretation of men to remove us miles away from the simplicity of the truth. I know you don't like that. But so be it. God's going to get us back to where we're going to get some word. Pure, unadulterated word. And if it don't come no place else, it's going to come out of the mouth of His prophets. Why did Jesus speak, Eliah, Eliah, lama sabachthani? Simple. Every other thing God was looking at, right there. But all of a sudden, the Lord placed on Him the iniquity of us. In a precise moment, hanging on the cross, God picked up all of your sins and my sins and put them on Jesus. And when He did, He turned His face away. You think you were clean? There He hung. Why crucifixion? All of them had their reasons and their means. Crown of thorns around His head. Blood was running down His face. Nail holes in His hand and blood was running down His arms. Scourging across His back and blood was running down His back. There's a fountain filled with blood. There shall be in the house of David a fountain open for sin and uncleanness. As He hung on the cross, the Father placed on Him the iniquity of us all. He bore in His body your sins. And when He had your sins and my sins, God the Father could not look on Him. And the Father turned away. And He refused to have any conversation with Jesus in the natural. And so Christ went into the Spirit. And He cried out, Eliah! Eliah! Lama Sebastian! And then the blood began to cover His body. And as the blood covered His body, it covered your sins. Thank God for that blood. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When that blood covered His body and covered your sins, He said, Father, you can look back one more time. It's finished. It's done. And the veil of the temple was rent in twain from top to bottom. Hallelujah. Paradise. I heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such a one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory. But in my infirmities, for though I would desire to glory, I shall be a fool, for I will say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation, there was given unto me a thorn in the flesh. Lord, what a... I've heard them hassle over.
What was Paul's thorn in the flesh?
He tells you,
dummy.
It was the messenger of Satan who was sent to buffet me.
That was Paul's thorn in the flesh. Well, was it sickness? Or was it persecution? Then how we've done it.
Remarkable thing, too, you know. That messenger of Satan there was sent by God. Does that scare you? That shouldn't scare you. God still commands devils. Now, maybe if I wouldn't have called you dummies, I would have got away with that, huh? When I called you dummy, you got upset. It's in simplicity. There was given unto me a messenger of Satan who was sent to buffet me. The word buffet means to oppose me, to rub me, to push me, to hinder me. He said, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me. And He said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore.
Read this now.
Most gladly, therefore, will I
brag about my Mercedes-Benz stuck in my driveway. Somebody give him two Mercedes-Benz. Oh, he said, I was troubled. He said, I wondered if I should sell them. He said, then the Lord reminded me that I had promised that I would do only with the gifts that are given to me what the people gave them to me for. And since the man gave it to me to drive, think. No, I'm trying to get here. I'm not trying to get there. This is where I'm trying to get to. I want to get to where I can say that. That right there. Most gladly, therefore. That's where I want to get. That's where I want to get. Right there. Right there. That Paul had something. Bless God, he had something. I mean, here's a guy who could walk to a chopping block and say, let's get it over with. Oh, that's something there, brother. I am now ready. Most gladly, therefore, I rather glory in my infirmities. I had this thing fixed. The devil must not want to get this thing hooked. I'm going to change over, Brother David. Praise the Lord. Use one of yours. Most gladly. I told the devil didn't want this thing recorded. It ain't these microphones now, is it? Most gladly, therefore, would I rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure. Everybody say it, please. Pleasure. Come on, say it. Pleasure. Enjoyable things. I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I'm weak, then I'm strong. I am become a fool in glorying. You have compelled me. You have forced me to constantly tell you about my sufferings and my heartaches and my troubles, trying to get you excited about them so you want some too. Paul said, he said, I'm a fool of glory a little while ago. He said, but I'm gonna keep. He says, I have become a fool in glory, and you have compelled me. You have compelled me, church. That's what he says. For I ought to have been commended of you. I shouldn't have had to be telling you these things. You ought to be saying, boy, look at that man of God. But you forced me over and over again to tell you how God's using me because you can't understand that. The other Saturday morning, I had a service here. People came. We had as big as this crowd on Saturday morning. Fantastic. I said to myself, that's going to show them God. That's going to show the people I heard from heaven again. Then I even told them how much the offering was going to be. $500. One sister sat over there, she started to cry. She said, I just can't believe that. Sat right here and watched it happen. $502. Oh, that happens all the time. Not in my meetings. And what it does is because I heard from heaven,